Well, open your Bibles this evening to John chapter 16, and I'm going to promise you this is the last message I'm going to preach, or at least these next months in John 16. Dustin and I are not chasing one another, any of that. I had proposed to preach on John 16 at a baptism service a few weeks ago, and then I kind of saw that was a little bit more to bite off in one message. So tonight I want to go to part two. You know, John MacArthur says the enemy of a good message is a series. So this is not a series. This is just part two of "And When the Holy Spirit Comes." When the Holy Spirit comes. Christ has walked with and taught the disciples at this point for 3 years. That's the context of John 16. So many conversations, so many lessons to explain who Christ truly was, and even more, who the Father was and his requirements for eternal life. They had been taught that already. So here in these final hours, Jesus gives them a new promise. And this is a new promise of extreme importance. And in some aspects, he saved the best for last. This last lesson would not be one to actually give new information. This is no new information is being given, but would be about one that would come to explain Christ completely and give understanding about all that he had told them and all that he had promised. He had talked about his suffering. He had talked about going back to the Father, but they really did not understand it. They were currently overcome with sorrow about his leaving. How were they going to continue the ministry? They had been challenged to go into all the world and to take the gospel, but everything they had done up to this point had been prescribed by Christ personally and edited by them when they had questions. So how would they continue the ministry that Christ had commanded them? Who would counsel them now that Christ was leaving? They knew so little, it seemed. What now? Tomorrow, many of these things that he had talked about would come to pass, and they would remember then. And they would remember the things he says, but even then they would not understand the significance of the events until after the Holy Spirit would come. The last time we were together, we looked at the beginning of John 16, and I don't want to read all of this, but I want to look at certain passages to kind of get our minds back where it was. And we saw that the Holy Spirit coming was to our advantage. Jesus spoke in verse 7, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go, because if I go, I will send him to you." And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. We learned that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. And note that convict was not a word to be used as in a courtroom, but rather this word here means convincing them of a defined truth. This is what the Holy Spirit would convince the world of sin. And so not even to say just any sin, because there's a lot of sin in the world then and even in the world today, but it would be the sin of unbelief, for Jesus said in verse 9 concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. He will convince the world about the truth of Christ, and it will drive them to repentance and faith. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, it would convict the world of sin. But he goes on and says, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of righteousness. When Christ was in the world, he convicted the world about their sin. He convicted them about their deeds and all of their works that they were trying to earn their way into the good standing with God. But he was the one that would tell them their deeds are evil. But now he's going to go to the Father. Who's going to do this now? He's getting ready to leave. So the Holy Helper, the Paraclete, as Jesus said, will come, and he'll convince the world that their righteousness is really filthy rags. And therefore, they need the righteousness of Christ. And we went on to look at it. When the Holy Spirit comes, he'll convict the world of judgment. And this judgment here, this is a convincing the world that their father, the prince of darkness, and to understand that everyone that is born into this world has a worldly father, the prince of darkness, and they are born into this world a slave to Satan himself. And so the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convince them of the judgment of themselves, yes, but the judgment of Satan himself, that he is defeated and he is already judged. Jesus spoke in John 12. He says, "Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." This was even before it happened. Since Satan is judged, those that follow him, and it's an argument from the greatest to the least, that those that follow him will be judged also. Judgment of the lost is a reality. And it is so real that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, and we've read it already, and he spoke about it in past tense. Satan is judged, and those that do not believe in Christ are judged. John 3:18, he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So when one is convinced of this judgment of Satan himself, they will also understand that they themselves will be judged, and they will be judged and found guilty as they stand before God, and that it is better to cry out in repentance and faith now in Christ and receive his righteousness applied to their account than to stand before him in judgment after death. So now Jesus goes on to say that when the Holy Spirit comes, there will be a spiritual change that takes place. So let's look at this spiritual change. And so first we see that there is a before the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says in verse 12, "I have many more things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now." Now it would indicate that there's a before and there's going to be an after. Now, he says, Jesus' intention here in this conversation with his disciples, that before he's going away, that this Holy Spirit coming was one of encouragement. His conversation was to encourage them and to lift them up in their sorrow. And he had done just that. He had told them the truth about himself. But what he had said was not all there was to know about himself, about the Father, or even the Holy Spirit, or even eternal life. There was more things to say. More things to say. He says, "I have more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." So there's a before the Holy Spirit. Christ could never truly have shared so much with them that they would have been satisfied because of their current flesh. Their flesh would have prevented them from understanding. And that's really what Christ was talking about there, that you wouldn't be able to understand this. Were he to have told them more and given them even more loftier type information, they would not have been able to bear it. I mean, he could have started 2 weeks earlier, given them more in-depth information, but they were not going to be able to bear it up, and Jesus knew that. His intent here was not to point out what they did not know, but his intent here was to encourage them, by the hope that even though they were confused and though they were sorrowful, stressed at the moment, and truly the thought of Christ going away was a burden to them, but they should not lose courage. They should not lose heart in this situation. They were to not to judge the life that they had committed to him by some present feelings of despair. that they had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come, to take residence within them, that there would be a change of coming. In other words, he asked them to be cheerful, to be courageous, even in their current state of knowledge, even what they know right now. It's enough for right now. Let me tell you, there's going to be more. And there's so much more that I could say to you. They did not know all there was to know, but they knew enough, and they could soon expect to have much deeper, much higher understanding of all that he has shared with them in the past 3 years. At this point, they could only believe what they could see, but he, the Holy Spirit would come, would give them deeper insight. And he talked about his death in Mark 9 and Luke 8, but they did not understand. He forecast everything that would happen the next day, but they did not understand. He explained that he would be mocked, and he had already said that he would be spit upon, and he'd be crucified, and then raised from the dead in 3 days. But it was not until after they saw his resurrection that they really remembered that he had said it. And Scripture says they believed the Scriptures and the words Jesus had spoken. You see, they needed to see it at that point. Then Jesus talked about after the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes. See, there's an after here. Christ was pointing to the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Things would change after this. Things are going to change after this. They could not bear it now, but later the Holy Spirit would give them ability to understand. He would be able to they would be able to understand all that Jesus had taught them before. There was not new information going to come. There's not new wisdom going to come, but they would now be able to understand. There was a deeper understanding of what he had said. Christ consoles them that when those that had believed on him receive the Spirit, they will be new men. They'll be transformed and altogether different from what they were before. They will hear differently and they will understand. They'll understand. They'll be freed from this bondage of the flesh and be able to act according to the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about this before, that the gospel is preached and it's preached over and over, and a person comes into church or whatever situation they're in and they hear the gospel and they turn away from the gospel and they go back into the world and they keep going back in the world, and then one day something happens. Something happens and it hits home. In reality, that's the Holy Spirit coming into that person, regenerating that person's heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, to a heart that doesn't understand, to one that is broken, to one that's broken. When Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 5, he wasn't talking about those that were lost. When he said, blessed are those that are broken in spirit, we're talking about the lost world. He's talking about those that are broken over their sin, and yes, their heart has been regenerated, because when that heart is regenerated, they see themselves for who they are, and they see God for who he is, holy and high and lifted up. And as we've learned this morning, that he is holy. He is a holy God, and his expectation of his children is that they would walk in holiness, and that is what that person sees when they come to a saving knowledge of Christ. He says, after the Holy Spirit comes, there would be a change. That Christ reminds them here that truly he had taught them all of these things, but he had adjusted the depth of this. He had adjusted the teaching while he was with them, that they couldn't bear it for the moment, but he had given them all the truth. He had not held anything back from them. He had given them all the truth. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will bring understanding in all truth. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to do when he comes, Jesus said. Calvin wrote about this verse. He says, as if Jesus had said, If what you have heard from me is not yet sufficient to confirm you, have patience for a little while. For ere long, having enjoyed the teaching of the Spirit, you will need nothing more. He will remove all the ignorance that now remains in you. The old saying, sin makes you stupid. When you are a follower, when sin holds you captive, it makes you stupid. It makes you do stupid things. But then the Holy Spirit comes and changes things. Jesus goes on to say, He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit is the bearer of absolute truth. The world does not want to say today that there's absolute truth. How can you say something is absolutely true or not? Isn't it relative? 2,000 years ago, Christ walked the earth. Wasn't things different then? Are you telling me that things are the same today? Something that was true then is the same today? Man, we have the internet today. If you want to know something today, I have a phone that you can ask the question to this person that's inside the phone. She's small. She must be very small, very thin. She's very cocky. And I'm thinking about changing, giving her a transgender thing because I get a little aggravated when this person talks back to me. But I can ask her just about any question, and she tells me. But she gets it wrong sometimes. I asked her the other day of a certain place to go, and she gave me something way out in kind of Nova Scotia land. Let me tell you, there's one absolute truth, and you're not going to find it on the internet. And you're not going to find it even in our school books, and you're not going to find it in the universities. There is an absolute truth, and that absolute truth is in the Word of God, and it is the understanding of it comes out of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said, it will bring total truth because it is the Spirit of truth. He is the bearer of absolute truth. And this Holy Spirit's main mission coming into the world, really, as with Christ was to bring the truth, the wisdom, the knowledge of God to man. Christ later states in John 17, this is eternal life. Dustin had talked about that this morning. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. You want euphoria. You want your problems taken away. You want happiness in this world. Jesus said, eternal life is knowing God and all there is to know about God. What should drive us in our everyday life? Well, not to be success and making money and all of these other things, but to know all that we can about God Himself. He also said in John 17, 8, for the words which you gave me, I have given to them. That is what Jesus did. Jesus did a lot of things where he hid, but he listed out. He says, this is what I did. I gave them what you gave me. I gave them truth. That's what you gave me. The Holy Spirit coming is going to change things. It's going to change things. And He is going to bring absolute truth about Christ. And we go on to see that the Holy Spirit brings this spiritual truth. Spiritual truth. Verse 13, it says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you in all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Note here, it says, all the truth. Now, there's a definite article, the truth, that is missing in a lot of translation, but it's truly key in understanding and interpreting actually what Christ is saying here. Because He is saying the truth. The truth, not just a bunch of facts, but He's talking about truth. The Holy Spirit's not going to come and guide the disciples in some general knowledge or some general truth. Rather, He's going to guide them in all the truth, all the truth. So all the truth actually is referencing here what will be written down later on and called Scripture. What he is talking here is he's going to come and he is going to bring all there is to know about Christ. Christ has told them all the truth, but he said there's more I could talk about. There's more that I can say to you. Now let me just say that the Holy Spirit is going to come and in his word is going to say all there is to know about Christ. That's what he's going to say. That's what he's going to talk about. And that's what he's saying, all the truth. The Holy Spirit will not guide the disciples in general knowledge. Rather, it will be given them in all the truth. And all the truth references here to Scripture that will be written down. Christ was explaining that the Holy Spirit will come, and he will not just convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment and bring comfort to the disciples, but he will be the source. He will be the power of complete revelation about Christ. As the Holy Spirit will come, and it will be his hand that will be on the hand of those that will author the Scriptures. He will be on their hand, and he will be in their mind of those earthly authors of the New Testament. It's God. It's not men that figured all of this out. So what Christ is doing here, he authenticates what the writers of the New Testament will later write down about him. He's saying this is going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to come. And then when he comes, his hand, his heart, his mind is going to be upon those that I've already chosen. And he doesn't say it here, but he's already figured out who he's going to have that do that. So, in other words, he is affirming what the apostles have not yet written. They don't even know. They don't even know. But he is affirming it as being inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus had already previously authenticated and confirmed the Old Testament, as he quoted from the Old Testament 60 times in his writing in the Gospels. He taught that it was the true Word of God in John 10. The Scriptures cannot be broken because it's the true Word of God. Luke recorded Jesus as talking about the Old Testament. He says, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail. It is going to come to pass. Matthew recorded it a little different. In Matthew 5, he says, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. It's all accomplished. Luke wrote again of Christ saying all things which are written through the prophets and about the Son of Man will be accomplished. So how much of the prophecy will be completed? All of it. All of it. How much of the Bible is going to come to pass? All of it. All of it. It will all come to pass. It will all come true. But he doesn't stop there. But now Jesus confirms that the Holy Spirit will soon author all the truth. All there is to know about Christ. The Holy Spirit would bring the promise of Christ, the Messiah. But now the Holy Spirit would bring the New Testament, all of the truth, which would complete the revelation of Christ. He can reveal all truth because he is actually God himself. The mind of the Holy Spirit is the mind of God. He didn't have to call him up. His mind is the mind of God. He is the mind of God. The Bible is all of the truth, not because of who wrote it, but because of who authored it. He is the author. God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. So this is why when we talk about the inerrancy of Scripture, why we can even say that. God is the author, that's why. And he cannot lie. It's all true. So the Holy Spirit will, next he begins to say the Holy Spirit will bring spiritual revelation. Look what he says here. The Holy Spirit will guide you. He's just not going to bring it and drop it off, but he's going to guide you. Jesus primarily, once again, is referencing here to the guiding, the revelation given to the New Testament writers to pen these books. But he is also talking about the spiritual illumination of the truth in the Scriptures to the believer. To the believer. The Holy Spirit changes a person's heart. He changes their mind, and he gives them the capacity to receive and know the spiritual truth. You know, a lost person can read the Bible. He can read the Bible like an encyclopedia. And truly, there's so many in the lost world today can quote more Scripture than many of us. But they have no understanding. They don't understand it. When the Holy Spirit comes, he brings the understanding. Because he gives them the revelation. You know, Paul wrote it all out, and it could not be made any clearer about where spiritual wisdom ascends from. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, don't turn there, but just listen to me. He begins in verse 10. He says, "For to us God revealed them." And this is spiritual truth through the Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. How are we going to know? God gives us a spirit to know. "Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all of them, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit changes a person's heart. And he brings that revelation to them. Paul explains here in detail the result of the Holy Spirit coming into the world. The Holy Spirit coming into the world and inhabiting the heart of a believer and giving them revelation into the written Word of God. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, and he gives you that understanding. This is what happens in conversion. The Holy Spirit comes to us so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. This is not some wisdom that only a PhD in religion that can understand. This is not something for just the rich people to understand. This is not something that only for America understand. We've already seen Jesus said to Nicodemus that for God so loved the world. I tell you, God can send his word that breaks the heart of a man into the deepest parts of Africa. His gospel goes out, and when that gospel is given in those places, and if the Holy Spirit is there and he gives understanding, there's enlightenment about who Christ is. A child of God is not taught spiritual things from the wisdom of the world. Natural man cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God. He does not understand them. When you talk to the lost world of how something that Christ has put on your heart, or how Christ has brought you through a certain situation, and they look at you and there's that little kind of eyebrow that kind of comes down with that, like, "Man, you're a goofball, look." What do you expect? They can't understand that. And truly, we need to remember, as Paul reminded the believers in Ephesus in chapter 2, "And so were you, dead in your sin." You remember that? You remember when you laughed at those who talked about Christ? You remember that? There was no one in here born a believer. You had those days. Whether you admit them or not, we laughed because we were born in a world and we rejected Christ because we loved the things of this world and our heart is married to the things of this world. But the Holy Spirit comes. And when he comes in our life, he changes things. You want to know what is wrong with the world today? This is it. It cannot understand, and therefore they never accept the things of the Spirit of God. That's what's happening in the world. You could say that at the end of every news, every 30 minutes that you watch or whatever you're reading in the newspaper. Why in the world is that going on? Because the world doesn't understand. They have no thought whatsoever of the mind of God. And they've rejected Him. They've rejected Him. For they are foolishness to them, for their mind rationalizes the meaning of life through the natural man's eyes and through his experiences. That's all that a lost man has is his experiences. You can't talk to him about a Christ that he cannot see. It's one of the greatest things to understand that the first thing that the Holy Spirit will teach a man is that he is lost. I mean, there's so much time spent trying to figure out who God is and whether Christ, can Christ be the real Messiah and is he the real God? Let me tell you, all of that comes secondary to the understanding that you are lost and on your way to hell. That's a total revelation that comes. And it's all kind of at once, because with that, there's God. He's holy and high, lifted up, and now I'm lost on the way to hell. I mean, it's just one giant revelation that comes. Before that, it's all foolishness. It's all rationalization. Even the good things that they do is cast from this mindset of selfishness. It's cast from a worldly point of view. The Holy Spirit changes all of that when He takes up residence in a believer's heart. Now they have the mind of Christ. And this is what would have been encouraging to Jesus' disciples that evening before the cross, as He would tell them that the Holy Spirit is coming and He is going to change your hearts. He's going to give you understanding. He's going to bring a total truth. And Jesus is leaving. And yes, they have struggled for the past 3 years to understand all that He had taught. But now the Holy Spirit is coming and He is going to give them understanding. Christ would soon be leaving them. But when He comes, the Holy Spirit comes, He would give them all the truth. The Holy Spirit speaks to the believer. And he speaks only what God speaks and what Christ speaks. Jesus explained that the Holy Spirit would bring them revelation when He comes, but what is the point of all of that? What's the point? The Holy Spirit reveals Christ. He reveals Christ. So what was the purpose of this revelation of the truth? What will He actually say? This is where truly true Christianity separates really from a religion that glorifies men and glorifies their wisdom. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to reveal Christ. Jesus explains that says here in verse 14, when He comes, what He speaks, He will glorify Me. He's going to glorify Me. For He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said, He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. He will glorify Me. This is what Jesus said. This word glorify, doxazo, is a word. And I only say that because there's so many meanings behind this word. But it's all stacked up of what the Holy Spirit is going to do when He comes. And He will doxazo, which means to praise Christ. He will extol Christ. He will magnify Christ. He will celebrate Christ. So when the Holy Spirit does not come, He doesn't come to bring attention to Himself. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to bring attention to Himself or to those He possesses. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to magnify and to celebrate Christ. It's what He's saying here. He will glorify Christ by disclosing the truth about Christ, just as when Christ glorified the Father by revealing the truth about the Father. Christ did not come and just tell them what greatness he was and how interesting it was that he's God become man. He came and he told them about God. And now Christ has gone away, the Holy Spirit has come, and the Holy Spirit's mission here will be to reveal Christ. He will glorify Christ. He did not come to enable men to do works that magnify themselves or even the Holy Spirit. He didn't come to reveal himself. He came to magnify, to celebrate Christ, to bring glory and praise to Christ. All he does is for that purpose. You want to know if some event going on is the spirit of this world or the Holy Spirit? It's a simple way to, it's a litmus test here. Does it glorify Christ? Does it glorify Christ? When you want, hear someone say, you know, God told me to do this. Now, the only way God speaks is through his word, and it's going to be the mind of Christ, the mind of God speaking to a person through his word. So when he says, God told me to do this, he's saying that the Holy Spirit. So you fill in the blank as you read through the newspaper and you hear the news that God told me to go do this. Well, does it bring glory to Christ? When God tells a man to bark like a dog or to roll in froth at the mouth, does that glorify Christ? Does it glorify Christ? He is not the author of confusion. Will it bring glory to Christ? Because if it does not, then it's not the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not bring new revelation about some deeper relationship with God or some secret to happiness in this world. He came to teach the truth about Christ. He could teach the truth about Christ. And it is what Christ had already laid down for 3 years as he walked with his disciples. He goes on to say, for he will take of mine. Will take means take with the hand or lay hold for a use. And he will take of mine. This word mine means my own. And Christ is saying, he will take what is my own, what I have already said, and he will take it by the hand. He will take these truths as just exactly like he's holding my hand, and he will take it, and then he will glorify me in doing that. He will take of mine. He says, the Holy Spirit is the bearer of absolute and perfect truth, but is not some new revelation or new information. It is what Christ had already brought about God into the world. The Holy Spirit takes what Christ brought and he makes it wisdom to apply to our lives. That's what he does. He gives understanding of how it is applied to the individual circumstances in our life. It's one thing to know and to be able to recite Scripture, but how does it apply to my life tomorrow? It's one thing to come here on Sunday morning and we're in our classes and we teach so deep and we have all these deep thoughts. But tomorrow, how is that going to be applied to my life tomorrow? And that's the Holy Spirit is going to take what's been put in your heart today, and tomorrow when the world comes in your face, the Holy Spirit is what's going to make it all come true and what is going to show you how to apply it to your life. Jesus spoke in John 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Who brought to the remembrance of the disciples as the Holy Spirit come and they saw these things that Jesus had taught and on and on and on. It was the Holy Spirit that it brings it to remembrance. And And you, as you memorize these words, and this is why we have Bible studies, and this is why you need to be reading the Word of God every day of your life, pouring it into your life, because you don't know when it's going to be needed. You don't know what situation is going to be needed, but the Holy Spirit will come and bring to your remembrance all that Christ has already shown you. Christ was speaking encouragement to his disciples not to be sorrowful for his leaving and not to be anxious with what will occur when he's gone. He said, there's a holy helper that's coming. A paraclete is coming. The Father is going to send him. The Father is sending him. The Holy Spirit will come and remind them of all that he has said when he was with them. He's not going to bring some new information. He's just going to make it all make sense. It's just going to all add up. How many times did Christ question them while he was with them about what they were learning in his presence? You recall all of those testing situations? Don't you hate it when someone is discipling you and they start asking, well, how's this affecting your life? And you're like, I don't know. Was it supposed to be affecting my life? You know, those are things that Jesus did in John chapter 8. He says, so they were saying to him, who are you? Now he has told him who he is, but now they got this question for Jesus. Who are you? Jesus said to them, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things which I have heard from him, these I have spoken to you. Have you learned anything? He's forecasting all this. And then John 14, he says, and Jesus said to them, have I been with you so long? Have I been with you so long? And yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? The Holy Spirit will come. And he explains Christ. He explains him as Savior. He explains him as Lord. He explains him as God. You know, men have always aspired and desired this deeper knowledge. Even back in the day when John was writing, there was these Gnostics that thought there's this intense upper level of wisdom, of knowledge. And they sought after that. And truly, many pretend to even have obtained it today. They've got some new thing. God has told me this. God has told me this. It's the old adage, there's nothing new under the sun. There's not some new information. There's not some new twist. Many even have used here this verse 12 to document that there are things that Jesus did not say. And then they use this verse and they say, you see, I'm telling you, see, Jesus, he didn't say it all. And so what I'm telling you, he's told me to tell you. So I that documents my prophets, that I'm a prophet. That not all truth is contained in Scripture. They're saying it's not all here. That Jesus means that you know, there's new revelations happening all the time. Truly, there's modern day religions that actually believe they have a prophet living with them all the time, and he can change things, and does, and has, in the last couple of centuries of their existence. But Jesus himself is most plain in these last hours. He has given them the truth. He has manifested the name of God to them. He has told them all that there is to know. He has told them the way to eternal life. And when the Holy Spirit comes, they will understand what he has told them from the beginning. He will bring these things to your remembrance, and he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. So what the Holy Spirit will reveal to men in the pages of Scriptures is but one thing, the truth about Christ. That's what the New Testament is about. It's the truth about Christ. So what the Holy Spirit is going to do when he comes in you, it reveals the truth about Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit will do in us. The Holy Spirit reveals God the Father to us also, even here, as Jesus is saying, that some, even at this end time, and even now, they argue that Christ was overstepping a little bit when he says that the Holy Helper would glorify him. He said, wait a minute. I thought God was the top, God the Father was the top guy. I thought that was the whole point. It was all about God. Well, Jesus answers that right here in verse 15. Jesus answers it very quickly, lest the disciples would become confused themselves. He says, all the things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. You don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit and Christ and the Father being all confused. You don't have to worry about something that the Holy Spirit tells you, confusing you about what Christ said. And you don't have to worry about something that Christ has said about the Father that will confuse you. It's in the book. And the Holy Spirit can give you wisdom in the book to understand the book. Christ came to reveal the Father to mankind, and the Holy Spirit came to reveal Christ to you. What Christ had established in completing the work he was sent to do will be explained in depth when the Holy Spirit comes, as he will guide you as a believer in all truth. So just let me kind of bring this together just a little bit before we close. To understand that the Holy Spirit's coming was a great encouragement to these disciples. Jesus had talked about it in a couple of chapters here before, and here right at the beginning. And these are just hours, if not minutes, before he will go to the cross. Everything that he says is of utmost importance to them. And so this is to be an encouragement. He knows that they're sorrowful. And so he would bring all that they needed to know about Christ here in this conversation. How he would give them all of the understanding to know how to obey his commands. Because no doubt, what shall we do when he leaves? Was the question that was going on. And so he tells them that the Holy Spirit will come. And when he comes, he's going to explain all of that. And that's to be comforting to them. And that is to be a comfort to us today. The Holy Spirit, he does the same thing to us today. Many lost persons would say, how can I know these things? How can I know? I was never brought up or in a home that went to church. I was never taught these things. How am I to know these things? Scripture has been given to this human race, and it is complete. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. It's how you're going to know. You have the Bible. You want to know the answer to the secrets of life? Look in God's Word. God's Word. It's God's Word. And there's not another word that someone else has that's outside of this Scripture. The Holy Spirit can take a dead heart and bring life to it by giving it understanding of the truth. That's how he does it. And so you don't have to worry tonight about your literacy. How the Holy Spirit brings understanding. You don't even have to know that. The Holy Spirit does the work in you. The Holy Spirit does the work. You know, one of the most difficult things for a lost person to come to grip with, you know, in their lost condition is even understanding that they deserve eternal life, that they deserve forgiveness. There's so many good people in the world today that they've tried and they've tried to do right and they fail. They try to do right and they fail. And they try to do right and they fail. And they say, I just can't do it. And they're right, they cannot. They can't do it. The Holy Spirit can change things in your heart. The Holy Spirit can change it. And he will empower you to understand. And that doesn't mean you will live without sin in your life. And Christ died for the sin of the world. And he died for the sins and past and sins in the future. And if you put your trust and you believe in him, he gives you his righteousness. He didn't take it back tomorrow because you forgot. Thank God. thank God. And believers, why would you ever worry about tomorrow? Why would you worry about tomorrow? Christ has ascertained here that you have this holy helper. That you have a holy helper, this paraclete, that has the mind of God. He will guide you in all things. Why are you worrying? Why are you worrying? You know, when Satan brings this lie to your heart, who can defend you? Who will call him a liar? You know, only the Holy Spirit can do that. You have no power against Satan. You have no power against Satan. Christ does. The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit in you gives you the ability to make the right decision, to walk away from sin, to say no, to say no. It gives you the ability to stand before men, to proclaim Christ when the fear of man just overwhelms us so many times. The Holy Spirit can do that for us. So how can we as mortal men explain Christ to a lost and dying world? Well, you can never really explain it. You can't explain it. How much time do we waste trying to defend Christ to a lost and dying world? That is not your job. That is not our job. You know what your job is? To tell them about Christ. Your job is to give them the gospel. Our job is to repeat what Christ has said and the Holy Spirit has written in His Word. That is what we're to be doing. I'm going to argue about the existence of God and of Christ and those things. Give them Christ. And when they laugh at you, go out, come back in, and give them Christ. Tell them about Christ. And when they kick you out, and if you have an opportunity again, and so we let bygones be bygones, let's come together and let's be friends together. When right there, when you're friends together, tell them about Christ. Tell them about Christ. If you love them, you'll tell them about Christ, and you know the Holy Spirit will then take what you have done, and He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. You have no idea when you're planting seeds that will bring forth fruit to eternity. You have no idea. You know, we like so many times to go out and have ministries and let's get the numbers. How many people prayed to receive Christ? Oh, gosh. Man, there was 50. I think there was 100. Baptist version, 300. There was 300. Oh, man, they came down in droves. And we feel so good about ourselves. Faith that fizzles before the finish is flawed from the first. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Decisional regeneration is a religion of man, not of God. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit comes into a man's heart. He makes that heart new. He makes it alive in Christ. And he understands who God is. He understands who he is. The end of that story is but one thing. He runs to Christ. As a wise man once said, you know, when a man looks up, well, a man looks down and he sees hell and the molten lava and all of the fumes of hell blowing, and you hear the screams of hell coming out from all of those who have died in their sins before you. And he looks up and he sees the only thing that's holding on to him is the hand of God. He never will let go, and he's never going to say, I'll get back with you later. Let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit reveals you lost and going to hell, and he reveals God as being the one who's holding on to you, you're going to want to run to Christ. That's the result of that. Why are you worried? Because they're going to reject you? Christ was rejected. Our job is to repeat what Christ has said. And then the Holy Spirit will do the convincing over sin. He will do the convincing over righteousness. He'll do the convincing over judgment. And then he will bring all the knowledge necessary about Christ to transform any heart that's ever entered into this world. There's no one beyond the power of God to save and transform. No one. No one. So given all that, so what should we use to direct our life? We get the next book or the next plan for success, the next set of DVDs to play to how to bring joy into our life. What should we search to find the answers to even our problems when they come into our life? What should we be using? Should we not be using what the Holy Spirit has brought into the world? The truth, God's Word. So where do we go if we need to understand what God says about life? Well, we go to our friends. We go to a counselor. We go to a psychiatrist. We have a seance. No. We go to God's Word. We go to His truth. We go to His truth. Because Jesus said when He comes, that's what He's going to bring. And that was an encouragement to them. It encouraged them so much that if you look at His disciples, and particularly His apostles, that they looked death in the eye and they never flinched. As all but one died a violent death. I've heard many people talk about in these days and so much going on around the world today of whether or not they would just have the faith to actually be a martyr. When it just comes up, just hold my breath and could I really be a martyr? And the only thing I can say to that is, let me just say this. Just try dying to self one day at a time. And if God gifts you with the opportunity to be a martyr, I'm confident the Holy Spirit will enable you to walk in victory. He will encourage you.